Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Get a burden, brothers and sisters, for lost, and get a burden for souls. Amen. Little children, doesn't matter what your ages are, get a burden for lost, get a burden for souls. Get a burden for mommies and daddies. And I find, brothers and sisters, so many people in this day and hour walking in deception that they're truly, truly deceived. And they're in deception and would be guilty of believing a lie and being damned. And, you know, we don't want to ever walk in that place. You know, I know that place by experience. I know that place by the powers of darkness and the powers of Satan. You know, we could go through life and say, oh, I know Satan can't touch me, man. I'm an elect of God and I'm God's child and he can't touch me. That's a good place to be when you're walking in faith. When you're walking in the spirit of faith and believing and pressing and pushing and pressing in and taking authority over Satan and you see yourself conquering him. When you find the conquering power of the Holy Ghost in your life that you got Satan under your foot and you find that you're walking on him, man, you can testify, you know, Satan, you can't touch me. But when you have defeat and failure and sicknesses and diseases and afflictions in the spiritual realm, you know, of oppression and depression and all of these things, and you find your flesh alive and strong, then you don't have that testimony, you see, because you're not an overcomer. And what you do is you plead in weakness and say, God, have mercy on me in my weakness and make me strong. And he'll strengthen you. He'll add power to you. He'll add the Holy Ghost power to you. Amen. And then you'll be strong in him. I'm going to read a little scripture this morning and expect the direction, the leading, and the guiding of the Lord. Again, children, pray for your parents. Some of you children in this services, your parents need salvation. And pray. Pray, little children. God hears your prayer. A thing that alarms me, and I've counseled many people over the years, the thing that alarms me is familiar spirits and spirits of inheritance. And we have natural inheritances, and we inherit those things. The things that we don't like in our fathers and mothers are usually the things that we inherit. If we can see something in daddy we don't like and see something in mama we don't like, we're usually dealing with that, and sometimes we're blind to that spirit. Many times our mothers and fathers are a mere image to what is going on within our own spirit. Many times the sons will have the attributes of the father, and even when they don't like them, they'll have them. But you see, brothers and sisters, we got to start rending the veils of darkness. And we got to start rending these things in a perspective that we can start discerning between what we have that is a natural inheritance and what we have as a spiritual inheritance. And the natural inheritances are going to be in war with the spiritual inheritances. They're contrary one to another. Many times the natural inheritances, you'll see the mind of humanity in flesh. You'll see the things that's puffed up. You'll see the things that's thinking too highly of themselves. Christianity, there's no place for that. I could say this, and I know the Bible says, he that testifies of himself, his testimony isn't true. So if I testify of myself in greatness, it's not true. But if I testify of his greatness that he's utilized in my life would be another thing. But I could say, naturally speaking, Paul boasted a little. He said, I speak as a fool when he was boasting about himself. It's what he said. He said, I speak as a fool now. You know, bear with me a little bit in my fall, he said, but I'm going to speak as a fool. I was great among the Jews, you know, in understanding and learning. He said, I was in the synagogues daily. You know, it would have sounded like he was testifying of himself, but he was saying, hey, but I found that all this is dumb. He found that there was no strength in that. I could say, naturally speaking, that at an early age, I was pressed and pushed into a career and pushed into understanding and a mind to perceive and to go and to grab. And you say, man, that's great. It is great to a natural person. I mean, I was making a way and pressing my way into the careers and different things. And I was successful at what I was doing. I could give much honor to my father, making me learn how to work as a young child. I can remember my friends off at the swimming pool parties and having summer parties and being in the pools and doing those things when I was at the airport. Taxi a $100,000 airplane up to the gas pumps and see a little child 9 years old going out to put gas in. And they would cringe like, my, what's this child, man? You know, you think of them slamming the nozzles down in the fuel tank, skinning up the wings and different things. And Dad taught us at a young age how to protect and how to do that. You know, I was pressed into those things, but see, it became the enemy of God. My natural abilities, the skills, the understandings, the way to make money, the way to excel, put me in another land, I'd excel. I'd get jobs and make things happen and do things and would excel. And I'd prosper. In my early years of Christianity, when I started learning godly principles and godly things, I started giving it over to the Lord, my skills and abilities. But still, I was hanging on to the arm of the flesh. You know, I'm blessed. God has blessed me, boy. You know, God has blessed me. God don't have no room for that. Well, can't we testify of the blessings of God? Not when it brings an arrogance, not when it brings us being somebody or thinking highly of ourselves or thinking us better than anybody else or looking at somebody and saying, oh, look at this poor, pitiful person and look at me. You see, when you do that, it's demons. It is demon spirits. And you'll find that God will knock you down if you're his child and elect, and he'll put you down. You know, I felt one time so low that I would have had to got a stepladder to crawl up on a toothpick. You know, and you say, oh, that's comical. Well, it wasn't when you was the one that was there. You know, it wasn't comical whatsoever at all. And then when he starts blowing on your ability and blowing on your skills and blowing on your substance and blowing on you, and it don't seem like nothing you can do would prosper. It was the chastening of a living God. And then I started learning to understand deceiving spirits and familiar spirits. You see, that's revelation, brothers and sisters. And it's a wonderful place for a man to come in his walk with God. I'll tell you, I wouldn't trade, brothers and sisters, nothing. Whatsoever, I wouldn't trade nothing. Nothing of the smallest increment of the spiritual blessings for everything that this world's got to offer. Not one iota of it. I'm telling you, this world has got temporal pleasures, temporal comforts, temporal joy. It's got a familiar thing to the things of God. In this world, we can enjoy the things. We can walk out and say, man, thank God for a beautiful day. It's sunshine and, you know, hallelujah. That's temporal. You know, we can thank God for the breath in our life, in our lungs. You know, thank you for breath, Lord God. That's temporal. Thank you, Lord God, for strength. It's temporal. Thank you, Lord God, for beauty. It's temporal. Thank you, Lord God, for finance. It's temporal. Thank you, Lord God, for shelter. It's temporal. This life is nothing but temporal. It's full of vexation to the spirit. It is something to hinder and get in the way of the spirit and the spirit walk. We have to learn to differentiate between the natural pleasures of this world and the spiritual pleasures of Christ and Christianity. And the thing is, when you learn to do that, you will find joy, brothers and sisters, that is unsurpassed in anything. You'll find a pleasure and a joy, and you'll find that in such a way. As Job was being stripped, as Satan stripped him of everything, took his family, his children, took everything that he had. He never cursed God, man. He rejoiced in the Lord and magnified the name of the Lord in the things. And he was a perfect man, the Bible says. God wants us to be perfect men, brothers and sisters. And we're going to have to learn to submit and to praise and to yield all over to him. Be concerned for souls, brothers and sisters. Be concerned and start watching for these inheritances. It's wonderful when children could come to understand inheritances in the natural at a young age, for they can conquer those things and get them out of their life. It's wonderful when they can, but if it's up in age, if it takes you to be 30 or 40 years old to get out of the wilderness, recognize those things in your life and start conquering those things and overcoming those things in your life. God will help you. He'll lead you and guide you and direct you. Again, Hebrews, the 12th chapter says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Truthfully, brothers and sisters, I could stop right there and really minister from the mind of the Lord a message right there. Beautiful things lay within it. The Word of God is rich, it's full, it's beautiful, and it's full of mysteries to people of the wise and the prudent, or the ones that are natural-minded, even with a natural religion. When you look for religion, it always wants to bring everything to the flesh, to the flesh, to the flesh, to the flesh, to the flesh. And religion makes you feel good in the flesh. It makes you dance in the flesh. It makes you just fleshly and exuberant. You haven't seen beyond the veil. You know, Jesus' life, you know, was acquainted with grief and sorrow, according to the scriptures. Brother Pike used to say, I feel the burden of the world upon my shoulders. You know, and he'd feel the weight of the world and lost souls. And when you find yourself in the presence of people that don't seem to be concerned for their own soul, you'll find the weight and the burdens of their life on you, and you're concerned for for blood, and especially theirs and even your very own, if you don't yield to the Spirit of God. Verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Follow with me, brothers and sisters, because there's going to be some things come forth by the Spirit of God. You get out on a limb and you're reading ahead and you're going on, and you're not going to find the mind of the Spirit. And this is a soul problem. It's truly a genuine soul problem with people with a lack of submission. I tell you what, if the Lord Jesus walked in this door, the one that you saw descend from the Mount of Olives, you would give a more earnest heed. But you've missed it because he's here speaking through me. You understand what I'm saying? And if you can't believe that, you're in trouble. See, I'm not pumping myself up as anybody. I pray to say, Lord, use this vessel. Speak through this man. I'm the least of any of you. I'm not saying these things for you could exalt me as somebody, but it's he's everybody. He's everything. He is all things. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, if you can't believe that I could submit my spirit and that he could utilize this life and speak through me, then you got yourself in a dangerous situation and trouble. There's men in this church that are on their way to hell, thus saith the Lord, without a doubt, that they frequent here sometimes and this and that, but they're so puffed up in their fleshly mind and they think that they have God. They reason against me, they find fault with me, they speak against me and things, and they are so lost. I mean, they are so lost and burdened. You could see envy and jealousy and all these things. And when somebody in this church prospers, you should say, thank you, Jesus. But you see this envy and strife and jealousy and things and speaking against the brotherhood. You know, and that's the thing God hates more than anything. When you speak against the brethren is something God hates more than anything. I know that I've passed from death and life because I love you. You know that? And I know you love me. You see, that's the secret, brothers and sisters. You know, that perfect love casts out the fears of death. It casts out everything. You know, we got to learn to walk in love. Brothers and sisters, I know it sounds like I'm exhorting again, but you see, I'm not exhorting you in the perspective I love you, but I'm exhorting those demon spirits and familiar spirits that you've allowed and entertained so many years in your life. And there's people that entertain demon spirits and they're so entwined with their soul and their life that they don't recognize them. They don't see them. It takes the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. It takes the Spirit of God to move in them that they could see these things in their own life and analyze them and understand them. Brothers and sisters, I've had to deal with a lot of spirits in my own life. I had to deal with a lot of things within my own mind. It wasn't my neighbor. It wasn't my pastor. It wasn't the brotherhood in church. It was my enemy. It was right here within the realms of my own heart, my own mind. And these things were destroying me and going to take me to hell. And then what happens is you come around a structured religion, I'll say, for lack of expression, and then we'll start incorporating things, but they're just religion. They're not directed or orchestrated by the Spirit. We need Spirit leading and Spirit guiding. We need to surrender the Spirit. And if I can't submit to you as a man, the Bible teaches me that I'll never be able to submit to God, ever. That I won't. It won't happen. If I can't love you, one that I see, then how can I love a God that I can't see? I'm just speaking what the Word of God says. Amen. Okay, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He despised the shame of that cross. He didn't like it. And this is why we don't lift it up. You know, we know he's lifted up, but we don't keep that shame to an open expose. We know that's where we found life at. For considering him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood striving against sin, and yet forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Let's read that again. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? Do you remember what the brethren called Apostle Paul? He said, you fathered us in the gospel. You see, it's rending another veil. And we got to understand it. I know there's a scripture that says you call no man father except the Lord, and you would look at it. But see, you don't understand. You see, Paul was a father in the gospel. But see, it's a different dimension. And we got to learn to understand that. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. This is what will produce holiness in your life, brothers and sisters. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord if you're exercised in chastening, because it's the love of God. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lamp be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Some to consider. When we think he's the light unto our path, but it could be turned away. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow after holiness, brothers. Follow after peace. If you find yourself in a perspective of life and there's no peace, you find that there's a turmoil in your spirit, you find that, you know, that seems like things, and you find your fleshly desires are warring with the spiritual desires, and you find all this thing there, then you better check up. We need a check up. Because, brothers and sisters, God's ways are peace. And it doesn't matter how much of anything around about you, when you found that peace in the mind of God and knowing that you're walking in the will of the Lord, then it doesn't matter what's crumbling or falling apart around about you. You've got a peace that surpasses all understanding. And you're walking and holding in that peace. Amen. He'll bless you with it, and he'll give it to you. Again, verse 14, it says, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness, brothers and sisters, is a destroyer. It's a killer. It brings death, both spiritually, physically, and naturally. It kills and destroys. You should be able to recognize that. When you see people that walk in bitterness, they're quick to temper, quick. Real quick, just nothing. So quick in it. And when you see these things, recognize what it is. It's a spirit of bitterness. And usually the couples along with the bitterness is envy and strife and jealousy. And those things will be right there with it. And you'll see it eating and eating and eating away. And things that wouldn't bother anybody else, they just go on through. It'll just wear them out in their mind and wear them out and destroy them and consume them. Verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. Now they're putting him in the same place as Esau. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for a morsel of meat sold his birthright. And we find that that's happening so much for nothing. For nothing. I heard Brother Pike speaking in a message about, you know, everything man does is for the belly. Reproduction, he says, on the belly. He says he buys him a big home for him to go lay his fat belly down. His big home. He buys him a car for he could ride his fat belly around in the car. He goes and buys him food for he could feed his fat belly. And he said, everything that man does is for the belly. You know, and you have to understand that. You know, that could sound offensive maybe. You know, this time, but you have to understand that. See, everything is temporal, temporal, temporal. Everything this world's got to offer, every strength, every finance, every structure, everything is temporal. There won't be one thing standing upon another. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. When this individual called the other day, saying that, you know, God had to offer forgiveness, you know, people don't understand. What a fearful place to walk in, thinking that God has to give you anything. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better than that of Abel, seeing that you refuse not him that speaketh. I wished I could bring a revelation of this. I don't think highly of myself. I know I'm the least and I'm small in God, and I walk with fear of the Lord in my life. But I wish this could become revelation to some. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. You see, we put so much of a natural speaking about the Lord Jesus when he walked on the earth and spoke. But if you could understand what was said right there in that one passage of Scripture, you would understand that you're even more accountable. You see, you could blaspheme against Jesus, but you can't blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. If you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, there's no forgiveness on this side, in this world, or the world to come. See, you could speak against what Jesus said, but if I'm speaking by the Holy Ghost and you speak against what I say, it could be held to you as blaspheming. And you say, what are you doing, Brother Rob? Why are you saying these things? Because, brothers and sisters, I find my heart so burdened and so heavy for people that are walking in a way to lose their soul. And then you speak and they just push your words off. They just push them off and don't take no heed to anything that you say. Some are following after wormy manna, and they put strength in wormy manna and it brings no life to them whatsoever at all. And they're rejecting the Spirit of God in this present day and hour. It says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. You see, you need to get a revelation what heaven is, where heaven is. It's like these brothers I was speaking with the other day, heaven to them was off on some planet. Off out there, they said, well, you know, the first heaven's here, the second, third heaven's out there. You know, that's where Jesus is at. You know, brothers and sisters, we've played religious games too long, walked in doctrines of devils and things. And, you know, the ministers are all saying the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. And I've got such a burden for this ministry that I'm working with. And I'm trying to be so sensitive and so careful. And I haven't come in and trying to project myself as some great man of understanding. I've come in with humility and even receiving reproof and rebuke from them. And submitting my spirit to them and listening for the voice of God in them. But then yet, on the other hand, I find little religious, childish doctrines. Like I say, when it comes to Trinity doctrine, I preach more Trinity probably than most Trinitarian preachers because I understand it. But you know, they've got some things so messed up. And they all speak in the same thing. Well, you must believe in the Trinity, you know, God in three persons. You know, they'll go to the scripture where it says in the Bible, and it says that, I show you a mystery, when a man and woman marry, that they become one in the flesh. And he says, well, you know, you and your wife are one, so I could take three person God and make them one. See, they use a revelational truth to pervert. And you say, well, I could see that, Brother Rob. Well, you know, I can too, but it doesn't work that way and it doesn't fit that way. And the thing is the mystery that Paul was speaking, he said, you've spoken it as a mystery, said it's a mystery. And see, it's still a mystery to them when they speak it. And if you'd ask them to explain it, they're going to bring it all back to the Spirit and say, well, really, one in the Spirit, we're one in the same mind. But what did the Bible say there? It said to become one in the flesh. One in the flesh. And when you go into the natural dimension, when they come together in union of marriage, they will reproduce one in the flesh that comes through a fleshly from the loins of the man through the woman. And it's going to reproduce after its kind. And it's going to bring a oneness in the flesh in that perspective. And you know, we could say that a man and woman will come into mind as the woman submits to the man. She come into one mind and one accord as he submitted unto God. But the revelation of that scripture, brothers and sisters, the mystery he was speaking about, was we step into the second dimension of the soul realm. And the thing is that inner quickening of Christ is the husbandman, and he's married unto the flesh, the outer garment of iniquity, and then we bring it into oneness with God in this perspective through the submission, subjection, and obedience. We bring it into oneness that people could see within the temporal realms of the fleshly life. They could see the attributes of the invisible God. That's how we bring this mystery into a oneness in that perspective. But brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter where you go and how you say it or what you sum it up. There's one God and one faith. There's one baptism. We break it into water, blood, and spirit. There's one God, and we break it into a body, soul, spirit, a Father, Word, Holy Ghost. It's not hard to understand, brothers and sisters, but again, we find that there's these indoctrinations of familiar spirits, and they're going forth, and we've got to learn. It takes sometimes weeks, hours, and thousands of dollars to do and to win. You know, the attempts that we made to go to North Dakota, I was after a soul. I didn't really care about their building getting painted and new carpet on their floors for they could pervert people in more doctrine and bring them into doctrines of devils. I was after a soul. But the only way I could get to the soul was by spending thousands of dollars. I was going there and spending thousands of dollars and your time and your labors and your finances to reach a soul. You know, we'll go to foreign fields and spend thousands and thousands of dollars looking for a soul. And brothers and sisters, if you can win a minister, then every time he speaks and every time he opens his mouth, you're partakers with winning souls. The thing is the brother rejected the truth. And he was so puffed up in his mind, thinking that he knew something when he knew nothing whatsoever at all. Just a little baby. As I told one of the elders of the church that sent him forth, I said, this man is a novice. And I said, you know, as a pastor, I said, I'm not his pastor, but this man needs reproof. And he needs rebuke. He had no business being out there as a pastor. He sent me a letter the other day asking for more financial help as he goes off someplace else. I done it as unto the Lord, following the voice of God. And say, well, if you was following the Lord, brother, it would have been fruit of it. See, that's what you don't understand. Sometimes God sends me in judgment that when they stand before the Lord, he said, don't you know that I sent a minister, a Holy Ghost-filled man of God, and that he showed you the love of God and spent thousands of dollars and brought a man to show you the love of God and you rejected the word? See, he rejected God. He rejected God, you see, just as we read right here in the scriptures. People refuse God. How is God speaking to you today, brothers and sisters? Well, I got a personal thing worked out, you know, and I go to my prayer closet and he speaks to me and I say, I know you do, because I do the very same thing. But brothers and sisters, when you come into my presence and you speak, I listen for the voice of God. I listen for the voice of religion. I listen for the fleshly desires of a man. I listen for the religious attributes of your raising. I listen for your father's mind, your mother's mind. I listen for the mind of Christ. See, and I can discern. Sometimes people don't see that I'm moved with some of the things they're moved with because I've discerned beyond the veil of where they're at, what's motivating them. Sometimes the things that motivate people to do things aren't God. Sometimes it's to bring recognition of themselves. Sometimes it's human compassion because they think this is the right thing to do. And sometimes they do things because they think this is what Christians do. But see, brothers and sisters, if you really understood Christianity, sometimes Christianity goes the other direction. Sometimes Christianity joins hands. Sometimes Christianity reproves and rebukes. And sometimes it's long-suffering. So we have to find the mind of God. We have to find the mind of Christianity. Verse 25 again says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For he, if they escaped, not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Again, pray and ask God to reveal that to you, where heaven is and how he's speaking from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God, acceptable with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You'd have to take verse 2 right there and couple it with 24, and then maybe you could come to some revelation of it. Are you speaking of yourself, Brother Rob? No, I'm speaking of you, that I've got to entreat you as an angel of the Lord. And if I mistreat you as an angel of the Lord, I bring the judgments of God, because what I do to you is what I do unto him, what I do to the least in his kingdom. People think, you know, they exalt the gifts. Well, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I'm an evangelist, I'm a pastor, I'm a teacher, I'm this, I'm that. But you know what, brothers? We're nothing. And you say, well, you need to reverence those gifts and those callings. We reverence the Spirit of God. Those things are titles, yes. But we reverence the Spirit of the Lord God is what we reverence. And we look for the gifts, and we look for the callings, and we look for the attributes of God in humanity. You know, when it says here about, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And there's times you go on and you think, yeah, this guy's not worth a count. This guy's no good. This guy don't matter. And you abuse, you take advantage of, you rob them, merchandise them, and do those things. But it's what you've done unto the Lord Jesus. And you'll stand before the Lord. You'll stand before him if you're spiritual in the house of God. You'll stand in the presence of the judging of God himself in the house of God if you're God's elect. What we read about here is the chastening of the Lord. If you will endure chastening and you'll turn and repent of your ways and take heed to the things that you hear, lest at any time, like the Bible says, you'd let those things slip. And if you'd take heed to those things, then you endure the chastening of the Lord on this side, and He'll strengthen you and move those things out of your life and out of your way. But then yet, if you refuse the chastening of the Lord, the Bible said some men's sins go before and some after. If we despise the chastening and we reject the chastening and we put ourselves in like, I don't have to receive this from Him, I'm better than Him anyway. I pray more than He does. I do as much, if not more, than He does. I do that. You've rejected humility. You've rejected submission. You've rejected it. The Lord Jesus endured that when He walked among men. He walked among men. He didn't want to bring anything to Himself. When He'd lay hands on somebody in their heel, He said, go and tell nobody. Don't tell no one. You see, He didn't want to bring anything to Himself. He always pointed everything back to the spirit world. Amen. We need to be sensitive, brothers and sisters, to spirits. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit. We need to train our ears to hear the voice of God and know how He's speaking. In the Old Testament, as He spoke through a donkey, we may say, and then yet we don't think that He might speak through a wife or a brother, a friend, maybe even a child. You understand what I'm saying? Maybe a little brother, maybe a little sister, and He'll speak. You know, we need to be sensitive to that still small voice of God. Yes, we need to be sensitive, brothers and sisters, when He's speaking to our heart. We need to learn to discern between spirits. We need to learn to discern between the good and the evil. We need to learn to discern when we feel that it's a voice of God speaking. You know, sometimes, and I've failed the Lord because He spoke to me by His Spirit, and He spoke to me with that still small voice and said, you need to stay away from that man, or you need to be careful of that, and I'd press over it. And guess what would happen? Calamity, crash up, problems. You see, obedience is better than sacrifice. I find myself in financial sacrifices because I wasn't obedient to God. I found myself in complications, brothers and sisters, at different times because not yielding to the still small voice of God. Let me use a natural example for you. If I use the term a con man, there's some men that are con men more so than others, that are more professional cons. They can convince you against your will. You know, there's sometimes that the Spirit of God is, not sometimes, all the time I should say, but He's always within us. And He's speaking and offering a defense. And we'll find that sometimes we could be in conversation with people, but we find this warring spirit of God that's there at guard, got the sword of the Spirit, man, and He's standing there at guard in such a way, protecting, trying to protect you. And then you leave the presence of that, and all of a sudden it kind of goes to an at ease, so to speak, for lack of expression, and you find yourself weary and wore out. You find like your physical strength has even left your body because of this situation that's going on in the spiritual realm. This is if you're sensitive to spirits and spiritual warfare and spiritual travails. But there's times that the Spirit of the Lord is there trying to speak, but your mind and your thoughts are so loud and so confident and overconfident that you drown out the voice of God. God's a gentleman. Sometimes He'll raise up His voice and scream and holler and yell at you. Raise up voice and holler and try to get you to hear and to understand. But many times in our daily activities and stuff, it's that still small voice that's there trying to lead you and direct you and guide you. But sometimes we shun His voice so much that we hinder Him from speaking because we're self-willed, self-proclaimed. You know, we're so self-motivated and we depend on our natural ability and skill and strength and finance and understanding and education. And we depend on it so much that we're snuffing God out continually. That's dangerous. You see, we don't have revelation when we're there, because when we come to revelation, we'd be like Brother Paul. We would say, man, I realized that all my understanding and all my wealth and all my education and everything is nothing. It's nothing whatsoever. It's dumb. I know the Bible says that a wise man's substance is precious in his sight. And you say, well, that doesn't sound like it would be dung then. You see, there's a balance in the Word and in the Scriptures. When you put your strength in your provisions, you put your strength in those things, then it's dung. It'll be yanked away. You put your strength in your strength, it'll be weakened and taken away, believe me. If God doesn't do it, just watch through the period of time. The old guy grows older, a little weaker, a little bit less ability and things, and it'll start weakening down. You know, brothers and sisters, learn to serve God in your youth. There was a man that had been hunting and deer hunting, and Brother Pike said, you know, he was preaching about it, saying they need to get away from it. And Brother Pike was speaking about this man. He said, well, let me tell you. He said, this man needs to sacrifice it now. He said, oh, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, it was something wrong with it because he had been convicted by the Lord for it. That's when it becomes wrong. And he said he needed to sacrifice this. Moses made a sacrifice of going across the Canaan land for others could go. And we're always in our life wanting to grab and to grab. Man, I could have this, I could have that. I don't have to give up this, man. I could have God and have this. And there ain't nothing wrong with this and nothing wrong. You're on the wrong trail. You come up against that holy mountain there, just like we've written about there. And you come up against something, man, that you don't understand. You see, this world isn't for what we can have and what we can obtain and what we can get. It's not about that. It isn't about our fleshly pleasures if we have liberty in them or not. That's not what it's about. This world is temporal, brothers and sisters. It's here for a moment and it's gone. Don't even get your eyes on what your liberties are or what you could do to feel good and have a good time here. This world is short. And if you get in the Spirit and tap into the heavenlies, you'll find that this world is a vexation to the Spirit. And the places that you find yourself in where you're having joy and exuberance in your flesh, you would find that if God was with you, that you'd be so vexed in your spirit. There would be such a vexation to you to find that you've taken a holy, righteous God into the presence of immorality and perversion and darkness. And you'd be uncomfortable because you'd find that God just ripping you at the core because he's about ready to part. There's no explanation of words. I can't even begin to explain that to you. But when you're in darkness, you don't find the chastening. You don't find the light in you pushing away that darkness, then you need a checkup. You see, brothers and sisters, light eradicates darkness. It eradicates it. And if we're not eradicating darknesses, then there's no light. If there's no light, there's no God. If there's no God, there's no Spirit. If there's no Spirit, there's no salvation. If there's no salvation, there's no eternity with Him. You see, we're predestined in Him. You see? And the fruit of the Spirit and the light of Christ is something that has to emanate forth and come forth that others could have salvation too. You see, that's why we're soul winners. I'm not seeking after my soul, brothers and sisters. It's hid away and sealed in. I'm concerned for other souls. And if the things that I'm doing in my life are not leading people to the kingdom and bringing people out of darkness and things, then I'm in error. It don't matter what it is. I don't care if we're talking businesses. I don't care if we're talking finances. I don't care what we're talking about. If it isn't leading people into the kingdom of God, I need to get away from it. We're servants of the living God, brothers and sisters. We're not our own. When a woman marries a man, she submits to the man. She gives benevolence to the man. She gives honor to the man. That's God's way. But when the man is violating God, the woman won't be able to do that. When the man is violating God's and God's order and he is self-willed, the woman will be self-willed. When the man's self-willed, God hardens her heart to do that. Do you realize that? God hardens the heart and makes them do that. And the man's got to take responsibility for that. Brothers and sisters, let's have a spiritual awakening. Let's get our eyes opened up into the things of the Spirit. And let's start looking into the Spirit. We could labor in this world. And we could store up and make ourselves somebody on this world. And make ourselves a little taller and a little brighter maybe and a little bit more on this world. But that's all temporal. Let's start looking for heavenly treasures, heavenly blessings. Let's start storing things away in heavenly places. Amen. Let's start storing provisions for our families and things in heavenly places. My daughter Stephanie had a vision. It sounded pretty perplexed and a lot of things and different activities happening in it. I believe the Lord showed me some things in it. I've been praying to discern it. Sometimes you see the death of somebody in a vision, and it's a good thing. It means they're dying to themselves. It means that they're really dying to themselves, and they're getting out of the way, and God could possibly use them. But she saw her own son, Andrew, on a cross. And then it turned to my son, Robert. And the cross fell over. And he fell off the cross and slammed his head and was bleeding in the head. Seriously. And he died. It appeared in the vision that he died. And I say, praise God. You know that? I say, praise God. Let me tell you something, and I hope you could receive this. I would rather see my son naturally die than my wife and I have to mourn and weep at the sight of his casket and bury him in this week or this month. I would rather do that as see my son go to hell. And live long life with the provisions. And you say, are you praying that way? No, I'm not praying that way. I'm talking about how I trust God. But if my son was going to rebel and continue to walk in rebellion and witchcraft that he's walking in now with his filth and his perversions and his overconfidence and his self-righteousness and his judgment, if he's going to continue to walk in that and find himself in hell, I would rather be planting my son out there beside my mother at a young age if God would take his life as a sacrifice. Christ, that he shortens the number of his days and enters into the kingdom of God. You say, man, I just can't even believe you'd speak like that. That's because I know where heaven is, and I know what heaven is, and I know this life is temporal. And I would be willing and be thanking my God for that very thing if that was to take place. And I pray that instead of that kind of a sacrifice of his own natural life, that he could make a sacrifice himself and give his life unto the Lord as a reasonable service and give his life to God, that he could do something to bring others into the kingdom of God. You know, that's the way I would like to see it, and that's the way I pray. I'm telling you the rather's. Would I want to keep my son, that he could live long life and maybe, if the Lord tarried, maybe stick me in a box someday, you know, and then he goes to hell? I mean, what kind of selfishness is that? I mean, that's a man that's blind, that hasn't seen into the kingdom of God. It's a man that hasn't seen or appeared or doesn't believe in eternity, and he's just temporal and doesn't understand. But pray, brothers and sisters, pray. I know the Lord showed me his death one other time, and we prayed and asked God to spare him, and he did. And he was in a serious automobile accident, and Robert even seen the spirit of death come to get him when he got in a wreck. He asked me about the black man that was in the car with him. That's a spirit of death. When you're a Christian, that spirit of death don't come around, brothers and sisters. It doesn't come around. It's done, gone. It's dealt with. It's over. We've passed from death unto life. But when you're a heathen, the spirit of death will come around. He'll take you and grab you, and he'll drag you right into eternal damnation. You know, spirits are real. We need to get out of this religious vomit, religious games, and just thinking that we have set our destiny and we're going to go in our destiny and we're going to just walk down through our life and we're just going to live long life. We're going to do this, and one day I'm going to cry out to God. You know, I'm going to go ahead and live in the pleasures of this world, and one day I'm just going to stop and say, oh God, take me now. And he might not want you. Don't be ignorant. We read right here that Esau, it said, sought him with carefulness and tears of repentance, and he couldn't find him. It's like, okay, man, I'm repenting now, God. I'm going to repent now, God. Don't wait, brothers and sisters, for tragedy and devastation to start looking for and thinking that you're going to find repentance with God. He doesn't owe it to you. You know, there's people, the Bible says, that are twice dead now. You say twice dead. And yes, they're still walking and still living, but they're twice dead. They've died that spiritual death. They cannot find God. They'll never know God, and they'll never see God. That's a frightening place, you know, brothers and sisters, to think. There's people that can't find repentance in this world or the world to come. You know, it's sad. It's sad. But see, it's simply because they've sold their soul to Satan and to the pleasures. You know, brothers and sisters, open up your eyes. Don't get involved in the temporal pleasures of this world. You know, I've used the fishing thing as an example. You know, the little fish. You, the great deceiver, man, you tie your little thing on the fishing string and shoo, you throw it out there, start reeling it in. That little fish says, hey, there's something that looks good. Man, it looks appetizing. Man, I want some of that. Hit it. And there you are, you yank it, boy, and you bring him in. Well, see, that's what Satan's doing with this world. He entices you with the pleasures of this world. He puts a lure out there for you. He might have a woman on a string. Boy, she could sway. Boy, just like that little lure could sway and look so convincing. But that old woman, she could sway, boy. She could, the Bible says the thing that God hates is the woman with the mincing feet. Boy, she could wiggle and move and things like that, and shoo. Man, you forget there's a God. You forget that there is a God and one that judges. We read it the scriptures today. Fornicators, you know, right there numbered with Esau. Esau couldn't find repentance. You say, well, is there no forgiveness for fornication? I didn't say that, but it's numbered with that. And the Bible teaches us very well in Galatians that fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God and enter in. We got to get real with this word, and we got to start understanding this word. He'll lure us with finance. He'll lure us with prestige. He'll lure us with pride and proud. God said he hates a haughty spirit, a proud look. You know, look at me, man. I'm the man. God hates that. That's what he says in his word. He hates that. He despises that. You see, that's a man without revelation. When a man comes to revelation, he is a humble man. He drops his head and esteems others better than himself. And it says, well, Brother Rob, it don't seem like you're esteeming others better than yourself the way you're preaching this morning. I'm speaking by the Spirit of God about things I've had to conquer in my own life. Conquer in my own spirit. You see, I've had to war against these things in my own life. Brothers and sisters, this is why I could minister these things by the word, because I'm not speaking about your problems and the shortcomings and the failures that you've had. I'm speaking about the ones that I've walked into. God's allowed me to see them. I remember Brother Pike ministering him, and he was speaking, and he was talking about cosperphobia, if I'm pronouncing that right. But he was speaking about it. He said it hit him so bad, he said he thought he was going to go slap out of his mind. He said it was such a strong spirit that he was just in desperation. You know, when you're in a confined area, just desperation. He said he thought he was going to go out of his mind. He started calling on Jesus. And he started calling on him that he could conquer this thing. And he started rebuking it in the name of the Lord Jesus. He said that finally that thing let loose of him. And he said the Lord allowed him to go through the affliction of that spirit for he could understand it. I one night had the Lord wake me in the middle of the night. And it seemed almost like revelation going through my spirit. I mean, it was flowing through me just like the Spirit of God does. The Bible says the rivers of living water. I've had it flow through my spirit. And I mean, it's just, I can't express it, brothers and sisters. It just running through you, man. And it's so powerful and so cleansing and so refreshing. And it's the Word is so alive. And there's things just being revealed to your spirit at light speed. There's no words of expression to it. I couldn't tell you. There's no pleasures that this world has. No kind of pleasures in anything. There's nothing that compares to this experience of the Spirit just flowing through you such. But I woke this one evening over in the middle of the night, and this Spirit was running through me just almost like that. But it was something that checked my spirit. There was something that didn't feel right. It was a familiar spirit. And it was putting events that really took place with people and personalities. And it was taking and showing me this man, this man, this man, this man, brother in our church. And it was showing this took place, this took place, this took place. And it was putting all these things together as a divine revelation. And like, man, this is the Spirit of God showing you really what's going on here. And I'm looking at this, but man, I had this terrible feeling in my spirit of sickness. And it was like speeding up, and it was just going, and I was seeing all these things that were happening and seeing people and personalities. It was so much like the gifts of God when the gifts are running in your life and when God's unveiling and showing the intents and the secrets of even your heart. And it was so much just like that. But there was something just ripping me. And I'm thinking, God, what is going on here? And I was in this vision, but I was awake. And I was being ripped in two. And I was in this thing for several minutes. And all of a sudden I said, man, this can't be right. It can't be God. And I started rebuking it. I was about ready to go out of my mind. It was almost insanity. But it was being things being unveiled. But it was presenting itself as revelation. And I started rebuking. And finally, man, I proved that spirit and rebuked it. And it left. And all of a sudden, man, the peace of God hit me. And this peace and this rest. It was just this other thing was going to kill me. And destroy me. But it seems so much, so familiar, so similar to God. And I remember the Lord showing me that and why he showed it to me. It was to bring me some revelation of some things. And sometimes people walk, brothers and sisters, in familiar spirits. And they think that they've made a divine connection with God. But they have with the God of this world. They've made a divine connection with an Antichrist spirit that is similar and very familiar. I'm telling you, Satan, the Bible says Lucifer is a minister. You know, he speaks of him as a minister of light, transforming himself into a minister of light. The Bible also refers to him as the illuminated one. You see, when we get an illumination in this mind of something, we got to be careful it's not Satan bringing the illumination. This is why we got to be careful when God even shows us things. God could reveal things. I've made many mistakes, brothers and sisters, as a Christian, as a pastor. But sometimes God would show and reveal things to you, and he would reveal it and show it to you, and you think, well, you've showed it to me so I could share it. That's a bad mistake. It's not always to go that way. We've got to find the yielding of the Spirit of God. And as we pray, say, Lord, orchestrate this voice. Orchestrate my mind. Orchestrate my thoughts. Lord, let it be not me speaking, but you speaking. Lord God, let me decrease that you could increase. You see, brothers and sisters, the glory, the honor goes to the Lord. It comes again by humility, by subjection, by dying, by killing yourself out. If you're trying to preserve your life and save your life and exalt your life, you'll lose it. Exalt his life, his praise, his glory, his honor. Seek the good for the others. And then you'll find true, genuine success. In all dimensions, in all realms. You'll find a prosperity, brothers and sisters, can't even fathom it in this mind. Can't even get a hold of it in the mind, the natural mind. The natural mind, prosperity of the natural things and the carnal mind and the things of this world, it's not even a good allegory to God. It's not even a very good type to the Lord. And God doesn't care about the things on this side. I mean, he'll bless you with them to show his mighty hand in your life for people to glorify him. He'll do that. But he shows you, again, if you'd go read Job, he said that he was the wealthiest in all the East, had more than anybody, and God took every bit of it away, every bit of it. Children, daughters, sons, all of his oxen, all of his sheep, everything. He had more than anybody, and God chose to take everything. everything. We know the story. God restored and added back even greater. You think, well, why would God allow Satan to come in and take these things away? See, God had to allow him. Satan told him, he said, you got such a hedge around this perfect man that I can't get to him. There's such a hedge around him that I cannot get to him in no way. So the Lord said, okay, I'll remove it. And he got to him and took all of his children and he took all of his wealth and everything away from him. And he got down and worshiped God. And he worshiped the Lord and loved the Lord. And Satan said, well, that's what's happening, you know, with the provisions. But if we could attack his flesh, he said, he'll curse you. So then the Lord removed another thing and allowed Satan to come in and afflict him with the boils and the sores and different things. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes God allows affliction, suffering, tribulation, persecutions that he could show himself. Are you willing? Are you willing to let God expose the power of him in your life? Are you willing to say, God, here I am, use me, Lord God, in whatever you so see fit. Lord God, I'm a servant of yours. Take this life and utilize it. Brothers and sisters, let him have your life. Let him have everything. Don't hold nothing back from him. When you're walking the kind of life that you've got your Christian life and then you've got your natural life, you know, and you got over here what you're doing with God and you got over here what you're doing with your own self, it don't work that way. That's harlotry. That's idolatry and adultery. That's fornication. That's spiritual wickedness. That's perversion. It's filth. It's deception. I keep finding myself just talking with you this morning, but I can't find the words of expression. There's no audible or English pronunciations or words that would carry the way I see and the way I feel about those things, because they're deception and they'll kill you and destroy you. Satan has been walking this earth for years. He has been walking the realms of this earth, you know, going to and fro. He knows man so well. He knows the desires of a man. He knows the weaknesses of man. He knows the strengths of man. And he can come in so shrewdly and come in so religiously and come in so well that you think that it's even God. And you think that you have God, but it's a familiar spirit. A similar one, just as the vision I shared with you that the Lord allowed me to go through. The end of the matter was very rewarding, and in what God showed me, for I knew how to deal with things by the Spirit of God in that particular vision. But you know, when it first happened, it was so deceitful how Satan was dealing with me, because it looked like it would have been from the Lord, because it was so familiar. But there was something that God allowed in discernment there, saying something's not right here. Something isn't right here. I don't know exactly what it is. And I held on and I watched as this went on for quite some time. And then the Lord revealed to me and showed it to me. I remember falling out of my bed on my knees saying, God, help me. Because I'm concerned for souls, brothers and sisters. I know sometimes you think I'm too strong. You know, some come amongst us and think, oh, we know God, and God is love and God's mercy. God is kind. My God is that way. That's why I'm standing here. Because Brother Rob Coons deserved it. God wiped him off the earth a long time ago. Smote me and wiped me off the earth. That's what was due to me as a man. And I could say the same to you. The same thing is due to you. But by his kindness and his mercy and his love, he took the penalty of sin, not willful sin, the penalty of sin, the attributes of Adam, or of the sin nature. And he took those things to the cross of Calvary and took that punishment that I could have life. But brothers and sisters, I've got to accept that life. He granted life to me and give me everything that pertains on life. But you realize I've got to accept that life. That life is power. That life is authority. And you have to learn to get out of the way to receive it. You'll have to learn to kill and to be crucified and die, and no longer you live, but let him live. Brothers and sisters, don't let Satan lure you by the vain jingles of this world, by the things of fleshly life, by the prestige. Satan will get you on a trail and you'll just give your whole life and waste it away. You know, we look at the people in drunkenness, out there laying in the gutters on Skid Row, we might say. We look at the people bound and afflicted with drugs, can't get loose and free from them. And we look at them and think, man, what a pitiful mess it is. But those people have a greater chance of going into heaven than some of the people that call themselves Christians in this day. Because the Christians that call themselves Christians, they're walking in deception with familiar spirits, not with the Spirit of God, but familiar spirits. It's not hard when you walk in discernment to discern it, brothers and sisters. You can see it. I walk with fear and trembling before the Lord. I've had familiar spirits and similar spirits come to me. Again, if you read on my webpage, my testimony is being delivered from religious spirits. My testimony is getting my eyes opened up. You know, when I met Brother Pike, he came against everything that I walked in. He came against every denomination I worked with. He came against everything that they taught me and things. And I could have said, oh man, this guy's not right. You know, all these people can't be wrong, you know, but I had to seek after the Lord and I had to find the Lord. When he baptized me in Jesus' name, he said, the shucks will come off of your eyes. Was it something miraculous that he baptized and you come out of the water and all of a sudden you seen, you know, in perfect clarity? No. It wasn't that way. But I can tell you one thing. The man of God was right. The shucks come off of my eyes. I started seeing the differences and started being able to discern between the good and the evil. And a lot of times you think what you call evil sometimes could be God in the midst and in the background working and having his way within the good and the evil. So we need discernment, brothers and sisters, that we could discern between these worlds, that we could discern between spirits. And just remember, get out of your carnal thoughts and your carnal mind thinking that you're going to live to be 150 or 80 or 90, whatever. Get out of that kind of concept of thought because it's just short. It's a vapor. You're here for a moment and then you're gone. Take advantage of the moment. Don't take advantage of the grace to lasciviousness. Don't take advantage of the grace to the liberty that you have in grace. You know, you can say, well, I got this liberty, man. I can, you know, I could strip off, man. I could drink a little bit. I could snort a little bit. Man, I could curse a little bit. I could lie a little bit. I could have a man. I could have a woman. I could do this. Man, praise God. The grace of God is awesome. You have that right. Man, you could have 50 women, 100 women. You can have 50 men, 100 men. You could be an Olympic track star. You can do anything you want. You'll still feel the reign of God. You'll feel God, feel his presence, man. You'll feel his anointing. You'll feel his spirit. You'll feel his love. Man, because it's on the just and the unjust. And you'll go on through life and you'll be proclaiming your liberties and the things that you got. But then you'll find that you're cut off because that's not Christianity. Christianity is discipline, a disciplined life. But you know, you take a young man and you put him off in the military and they put him in boot camp. You know, he might have been streetwise, might have been pretty sharp, might have been a good fighter through high school. He might have been able to carry himself, not take nothing from nobody. But he lets that spirit even come out that much. In boot camp, they'll beat him down. Dad shared stories with me from his boot camp days. He said a man that wouldn't have good hygiene. And he'd come in, he'd smell. He said a bunch of guys would jump him, drag him into the showers, and they'd take scrub brushes. And he said they scrubbed him till his skin was as raw and red as a tomato. He said, you know what? That man was in the showers every time they turned him on after that. You say, what are you saying, Brother Rob? I'm saying that a man gives up his sovereignty when he goes in there. They tell him when he's going to bed. They tell him when he's getting up. They tell him where he's going to be. They tell him if he's going to eat or if he's not going to eat. They tell him where he's going to go. Doesn't matter if he's got family. We're going to send you over here to this country. We're going to do this with you. We're going to do that. He surrenders his sovereignty. That's an allegory, brothers and sisters, to God's way. We're good soldiers for Christ, the Bible says. We keep ourselves unspotted from the affairs of this world, is what the Bible says. I don't look and say, well, this is my liberty, this is what I can do, I can do this and I can do that. We're not a soldier for Christ when we think that way. When we're continually exercising our will, our desire, and we do what we want. Brothers and sisters, when you do what you want with your finances, you're not of God. When you do what you want with your life, with your substance, with your family, with your children, I'm just simply here to let you know you're not of God. That sounds harsh, I know, but I'm just telling you. Things are being pulled to line, yes. We need to get these things out of our life. And we need to make some real surrendering. And we need to do a real checkup because everything else doesn't matter. The king, the presidents, the wealthiest, when they put Bill Gates someday in a box, I guess he's probably one of the wealthiest men. I don't know. I know there's others around. But when they put him in a box, he become equal with the guy that had nothing, that was laying out in Skid Row and died and choked in his own vomit. And they dragged him out of the gutters and washed him up down there in some morgue somewhere. They slammed the same stainless steel tricar up in his chest and sucked his guts out. Bill Gates might have a $60,000 box, and the other guy might have an old pine box that the government gave him. But you know what? They become equal right then. Not one could boast of anything at that particular time. They become equal. They become worm food is all they are. You know, the worms and the maggots are going to eat the Bill Gates just like they are the drunkard. They become equal. And they're going to eat them and consume them. That's all flesh has got to offer. Get your eyes off of the flesh and start utilizing your life for the glory of God, for the power of God, for the love of God. If you're not concerned about your own soul and you're going to be lascivious in your life and foolish and going to take your own self to hell, maybe try to get enough compassion for others that you won't be guilty of leading others into darkness and into captivity. Be careful what you speak against. Be careful what you think is Brother Rob's convictions and what the Word of God demands. Because I'm not preaching my convictions and my feelings to you or the way I think it is. I'm preaching the Word of God to you. You may not have your eyes open and may not see it, but I'm telling you what, I'm not preaching things to you that you have a right. The Bible said this word is not for private interpretation. So you think you've got your own private interpretation, you're going to interpret your way and I'm going to interpret my way? It isn't that way. Either I'm speaking by the divine Spirit of God or I'm speaking out of the flesh. So you better discern that yourself. And if you think I'm in the flesh, you're a fool to come back to this church and come back through these doors. Amen. And if you're convinced that I'm fleshly and speaking these things by the flesh, some of your religions would be a lot easier for me to preach. I'm telling you, man, God loves you despite of yourself. You know, God loves you don't matter how you live. God loves you don't matter what you do. Well, wouldn't that be easy to resist you? What is all the rest of the book about then? Why does he exhort us to come out of the world? Why does he say we're to be peculiar people? Why does he teach us all of these things if it's just that because we said some simple prayer? Oh God, come into my heart. Why is it that way? I mean, if it's so simple that we just say a little prayer and all of a sudden, why is there a disciplined way and a disciplined life? Why did Jesus make them disciples when he walked by? Why didn't he just say, oh, hey, looky there, you're my son. See you later, I'm going on now. But he disciplined them. He disciplined them into another world, another life, another way. Brothers and sisters, there's man's ways and there's God's ways. Man's ways are contrary to God's ways. The Bible said man doesn't know God's mind or God's ways. And you never will. As a man. So what you better do is pray for the mind of Christ, the mind of God, the mind of revelation. And you better pray and say, God, lead me and guide me. I love you, brethren. You know, it sounds like, well, you're exhorting us. Well, I'm not exhorting. I prayed and asked God. I said, God, I don't know what your people need. I don't know where to go. If you would have come for prayer maybe earlier and come to the service early, he would have saw maybe the pastor pleading for God to say, use my voice today. Speak through my heart. Speak through my life. Speak through the words, Lord. Don't let me speak, but you speak. And I plead with him to do that. Otherwise, we don't have church or we don't have service. It would just be like so many have. They get together, read a little story, have a little exhortation, so to speak. That's a terrible, terrible place to be. I want to be where I can hear God. I want to be where I could hear his voice. I want to be where I could yield to his desires that I could be pleasing in his sight. I want to hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in. That's what I want to hear. And the only way I'm going to hear that is by obedience, by giving to him. But truthfully speaking, brothers and sisters, I say that's what I want to hear and that's the truth. But you know what? I want to hear him say that to you. And I'm trying to do everything that I know to do to lead you, to direct you, to guide you into that kind of a walk with him. I'm trying to exhort you by his mind and his will and his word. By his spirit, I try to offer exhortation, edification, comfort. God isn't just this big, mean God that sits back with a big sword waiting to take your head off every time you move or every time you walk through the church doors. Brothers and sisters, we're serving an awesome God, a loving God, a merciful God, a compassionate God. And he loves you and he's granted life to you. But sometimes we have to minister in the way we're doing because it's like you. I'll just give you an example the way you are. I'm going to use you as an example, dads. You like to get your grandchildren. You like to get your children out. Maybe roll in the yard and play with them and roll a ball or throw a ball, kick the ball, pull them in the wagon or swing with them or push them in the swing. That's what you would like to do with them. You'd like to offer them the little candy bar or maybe the ice cream bar, laugh with them and joke with them. But when you see them running out into the highway, there's going to be something that changes in your tone of voice. There's going to be something that changes in your action because you have a reverent fear for the kid well-being. And you might have to scream out a little bit. You might have to chasten them. Sometimes we got to take the little child. If we want to or don't want to, it doesn't matter. Sometimes we've got to take and paddle a child because of the rebellion or the little spirit that they would get that would cause them a problem to lose out with God. And that's what you have to do as a father or a mother or a grandfather or grandmother because it's love. And that much more so in the house of God. I can't find fault with God if he chooses to offer exhortation, if he wants to just bring you to church and talk about how awesome and glorious He is and bring glory to the throne and the kingdom. And He does that every service, brothers and sisters. We are serving an awesome God. Let's stand to our feet together as we look for a place to close the service this morning. I thank you for coming. I love you and appreciate you. I thank you that you took time out of your day and out of your busy life and busy schedules to come to the house of God. And I pray and hope that you heard beyond the veil of human mind and man and heard God speaking to you. If you want to give me glory and honor because I maybe ministered to you, I don't want that. Give Him the glory and honor. If you want to get mad at me because maybe God chastened you, I don't want that either. Get mad at Him. And if I left the guidelines of His word and I left the guidelines of this word and you think I went into error or some kind of a doctrine of man, then you owe it to me by the love of God to come to me and say, brother, I'm not in agreement with you. I think you've departed the word and the scriptures, and come show it to me and believe me. If you can do that and show me that I've erred in the scriptures and erred in the faith, believe me, maybe by the time you've convinced me of this, that everybody may be gone. But I'll promise you one thing. I'll be in the very first church services and I'll plead with this congregation to have mercy on me and to forgive me of my wrongs and my errors. I'll do that. And I'll ask you to say, help me and forgive me. Amen. And I most definitely will. If you got something in your home that you can't control your spirit over, if you've got alcohol in your home, such as wine, and you believe you got the liberties with it, you know, and you think that this is okay, and you know, you read the Bibles and say that this is what they did. One thing you got to remember, in the Bible, many cases when you find them where they partook and drank wine together, it's because the water was so defiled. They didn't have water systems and plants and purification like that. And when they drank the waters, it would make them very sick. I've got a bug in Mexico before from drinking bad water before, you know, and in other countries and different things. So many times they did this because it was something that they could drink that was pure. It isn't for social lifestyles and gathering for we can get a little tipsy in our thoughts and our feelings and put our flesh, you know, at ease, this and that. It isn't for those things. If it's televisions, if it's wine, if it's worldly pleasures or whatever kind they got to offer, guard over your home, guard over your spirit, guard over your lives. If your life, the things you do are offensive to others, then you violated the scriptures and the word. You say it doesn't offend me. Well, maybe your conscience is seared with the hot iron. Maybe you're calloused. Maybe you're not listening. I want to hear God. I want to hear that still small voice. God loves you. He died for you. He gave you everything that pertaineth unto life. Worship Him and love Him and bless Him. Let's just close our eyes, brothers and sisters. The altars are open this morning. If you want a closer walk with Him, if you want to make greater sacrifices and give more of your life to Him, the altars are open. That's where I want to be, brothers and sisters. I want more of God. I want more of Him in my life.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.